Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example. Point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow his commands. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Remember the days of old. Consider the years long past. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High apportioned the nations, when he divided humankind, he fixed the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the gods. The Lord's own portion was his people, Jacob his allotted share. He sustained him in a desert land, in a howling wilderness waste. He shielded him, cared for him, guarded him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings, takes them up, and bears them aloft on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 112 responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are those who fear the Lord and have great delight in his commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is right. They put their trust in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their image.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, They were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Figures of speech are an effective way to communicate ideas and to remember them. Today, the word of truth breaks in upon us on the wings of eagles. Eagles have been around since biblical times. Sketches of them have been found on Stone Age caves. Eagles were symbols of power for Babylon and Rome and Charlemagne and Napoleon, Russian czars, Native American chiefs, and eagles are on the seals of Mexico and our own United States. Eagles are popular, and so we have eagle pencils, eagle jeeps, eagle brand condensed milk, eagle playing cards. An eagle on the collar or the shoulder indicates the rank of an officer in the military. An eagle is a constellation in the sky, the Achilles, a tropical fish, a popular sports team. Back in Colorado these days, the scene of the jury selection for the Kobe Bryant trial, the highest rank in scouting, and though I don't experience it very much, one stroke better than a birdie in golf. I look at you, Carl. Never, though, never have eagles been so emulated as when God's ancient people were in the wilderness. Not a wilderness of trees and bushes, but of rocks and stones and hot desert sand. God had brought his people out of Egypt. There they were for 40 years at Kadesh Barnea, wandering around in circles. I've driven across the Sinai Peninsula. I've seen Moses' mountain. I don't see how it was possible for those people to survive. But they did survive. Weary, worn, they looked up at the sky, and what did they see? Eagles. Eagles floating so majestically, so effortlessly above them. We can understand why a writer of Proverbs wrote, "One thing is too wonderful for me, the way of an eagle in the air." God knew how his people felt about eagles, and he said, "You have seen how I wore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." In the first lesson read today, a slightly different translation puts one verse like this: "Like the eagle, which stirs up the nest, which flutters over its young, spreading its wings, carrying them on its pinions, catching them, the Lord alone did lead." Here we see pain, possibility, providing, and possession. The pain comes first, like an eagle which stirs up the nest. an eagle's nest, 7-8 feet in all directions, several truckloads of bricks, of sticks and stones and dirt and briars. The inside of the nest is lined with soft furs and feathers. Those of you who do crossword puzzles know it's called an eyrie. There in that nest, the female lays the eggs. Usually two of them tan with black spots. Both parents incubate the eggs, and then the little ones are born, and after about 13 weeks, the time has come for them to fly. That's when the parent eagle stirs up the nest, scratches out those furs and those feathers, and now the little ones feet hurt as they stand there, and their bodies have pain when they lie down. And this isn't the life they had known. There is pain, like the eagle that stirs up the nest. That's how it was for God's ancient people. They were in that land of Egypt, in favor of the Pharaoh, given a choice, fertile area in Goshen. Little by little, they were adopting the ways of the Egyptians. They were forgetting their God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. The time had come to stir up the nest. In the book of Exodus, the first chapter, the sixth verse we read, there arose a king, a Pharaoh, who knew not Joseph. This new Pharaoh appointed taskmasters over those people. Now they were slaves. They had to gather dirt and straw and make bricks to build. This wasn't the life they had known. They were experiencing pain. They were uncomfortable. You and I experience pain at times, too, in our lives. The soft feathers, the furs are gone. We're on the sticks of worry and the briars of anxiety. A loved one dies. We experience bad health. We lose our jobs. We don't get along with our boss or our neighbor. We're at odds with our mate. We don't understand our children. We're addicted to something. We don't have enough money to make ends meet. We feel empty and alone and anxious. There is pain, like an eagle that stirs up the nest. The verse continues that flutters over Ipsiam. Picture an eagle there near the nest, floating around. The little ones on those stones and briars look out and see there's something more. There's a possibility of something better. We don't have to be in these hard sticks and stones all the time. There's a possibility of something else. That's what God taught those people in Egypt. He raised up Moses, who went to the Pharaoh's palace. He knew a way around. That's where he had been reared. You know the story of the 10 plagues, how he challenged the Pharaoh. And when the decree was given that the male children should be killed in order to wipe out that population, God told his people to put blood on the doorpost. The angel of death passed over. They were spared. They saw that there is one who is stronger than the Pharaoh. There is the possibility of something greater, something else, something more. And so it is for you and for me. As Paul says in the 12th chapter of Corinthians, I will show you a more excellent way. Some people never see that. They live in the basement of despair and think that's the only room in the house. They not only push the panic button, they hold it in. They go from one problem to another. And if there's no crisis, they invent one. The difficulty is not the set of circumstances, but their outlook on life. They are without hope. They see others flying around, but that's not for them. And yet Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. There's a possibility of something more. Like the eagle that stirs up the nest, there's pain that flutters over its young, that spreads its wings, carrying them on its pinions. The Lord alone did lead. See that parent eagle spreading one of those big wings across the nest? The little one sees the feathers, familiar with them, they're soft, climbs on the feathers, and little by little makes its way to the center of the parent's back. With those strong talons, it's holding on. As the parent eagle takes off, The little one on its back, frightened, it'll be thrown off, it'll plunge to its sure death. Then the little one is caught up with the exhilaration of the flight. It's being provided for. This is the life. And this is the way to live. Back to the nest, dumped off, onto the eagle again, floating through the air with the greatest of ease. That's what happened to the Israelites. One night they celebrated the Passover. So quickly the bread didn't have time to rise. They celebrated with their shoes and their feet, and they took off. They were going to escape and were on their way when they became face to face with the sea, the Red Sea, the Reed Sea. They were literally between the devil and the deep blue sea. The hosts of the Egyptians were back of them. They would be captured and made slaves again, perhaps killed. And then God told Moses to raise his arm with that staff, the rod of God, the power of God. The waters were parted, and his people passed on dry land to the other side. When the Egyptians came, their chariots sank down in the mud. Miriam, the sister of Moses, sang a song, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea." God's people were saved. This is a great redemption of the Old Testament, brought out of the bondage of Egypt on their way to the promised land. God was providing for them. Think of how God provides for us. He sent Jesus Christ, his only son, who became human, lived among us, and then willingly went to the cross to die for us, only to have God raise him from the dead, as a Savior, as the Lord. Not through the waters of the Red or Reed Sea, but through the waters of baptism. God brings us out of the bondage of our sin and route to the promised land. We, like those little idiots with their talons, clutch this, hold it, make it our own. That's what faith is. To receive what God gives, what God provides, to know this is true for us. We commit as much of ourselves as we can to as much of God as we understand. Little by little we discover how dependable he is. Indeed, King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the Savior of our lives. We are provided for. Isaiah in his prophecy tells about tribes, people really who have idols of stone and wood. You've got to carry your gods, he said. You need a god who can carry you. Like the eagle, which spreads out its wings, carrying them on its pinions, the Lord alone did lead. There's one more word in Hebrew. Like the eagle which stirs up the nest, pain, which hovers over its nest, possibility, running its wings, carrying them on its pinions, providing, catching them, the Lord alone did lead. Imagine, if you can, that parrot eagle with a little one on its back, floating around in the air, high, high in the sky, then purposely, deliberately, throwing that little one off its back. And the baby eagle screaming, is plunging toward the earth, gravity pulling it to sure death, only to have the parrot eagle swoop underneath with those big wings, catching the little one, carrying it again high in the sky, throwing it off again and again and again, until the little one learns to fly. In the wilderness, God enabled his people to know that they were possessed by him, and he was their possession. That's where we gave them water from a rock, and gave them quail to eat and manna, gave them the Ten Commandments and said, "I will be your God, and you will be my people. You are my possession." How you and I experience that. And we live in this period of time on our way to the eternal promised land. You know, the rock, as Paul says in Romans, is Christ. living water coming from Him. He nourishes us. He cares for us. And we experience a joy down in our hearts. The peace the world can't give or take away. We are possessed by Him. He is ours and we are His forever. There's a curious fact about eagles. When a storm comes, an eagle with keen hearing hears it, faces the wind which carries it above the storm. And there the eagle soars while the storms rage underneath. Through our faith in Christ, we are able to rise above the storm. They are there and they are real, but we are able to cope. We know that His strength is made perfect in our weakness. In the book of Revelation, there's a marvelous figure. The church is portrayed as a woman, escaping the devil, a serpent. How does Peter say, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Then we hear these words. The woman, the church, was given the wings of a great eagle to fly away to the desert, a safe place, and there nourish for a time, and a time, and a half time. Temptations for us are real, and yet, like the wings of an eagle, strengthen us to find safety and nourishment in our Lord. Like an eagle which stirs up the nest pain, which hovers over its young possibility, which spreads its wings, carrying them on its pinions, providing, catching them, possessing them, making them His own. The Lord our God did lead. You know the familiar hymn we'll be singing with the words, "And I will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the hollow of my hand." As the proverb says, "One thing is too wonderful for me, the way of an eagle in the air." And you, and you, and you, and I, with wings of faith in Christ, we fly.